280 awkward steps. Reacher completed 70 of them, a quarter of the way down, and then he began to speed up. He saw a window of opportunity ahead. Set up the equipment, then start the refueling, Plato had said, which meant that there would be some busy work up top before one of his guys came down to connect the pump truck's hose to the fuel tank. 5 minutes, maybe. Possibly 10. And 5 or 10 minutes alone with Plato deep underground could be productive. So he aimed to get to the bottom as far ahead as possible, to prepare. So he sped up as much as he could, which wasn't much, and which wasn't nearly enough. Plato matched him step for step, gained on him even. For a man of Plato's stature, the winding stair was broad and palatial, like something from a Hollywood production, and his feet were dainty. He was nimble and agile in comparison. Reacher slowed down again, better to save energy and avoid busting an ankle. The guy who had sat in seat 4A was standing with the guy from seat 4B in the lee of the pump truck, out of sight of the stone building, hidden from the Boeing's flight deck windows, invisible to the sentry 100 feet down the runway. The guy from 4A had texted the Russian. Cop car damaged, no getaway possible. The Russian had replied, "I will double your money." The guy from 4B glanced over at the de-icer truck. The guy from 4A followed his gaze. A diesel engine, a little clumsy, not fast, distinctive in appearance, and stolen. But it was a vehicle. He said nothing. The phone buzzed again against his palm. The Russian had offered, "I will triple your money. Do it." Triple the money was a fortune beyond comprehension. But even that paled against the prospect of a life without Plato in it. The guy from 4B nodded. He had just driven the truck. He knew it worked. The guy from 4A texted, "Okay." Reacher passed through the second of the oboe nodes, two-thirds of the way down. The individual sounds of four separate feet on metal merged and melded into a keening, ghostly song that pulsed up and down the shaft and hung and oscillated in the still, dead air, like an elegy for a tragedy about to happen. Reacher shivered and kept on going down into the darkness, his flashlight held between gloved thumb and forefinger, his other three fingers spread and brushing the wall. Above him, Plato's beam turned and jumped and stabbed. Reacher's heel hit the 200th step. 80 more to go. The pump truck was basically a simple device, a relatively recent invention. In the old days, tankers refueled planes directly. In the modern world, airports put fuel tanks underground, and skeletal trucks drove out on the tarmac and linked nozzles under manholes to nozzles under airplane wings. The hose on the reel directly behind the cab spooled out and connected to the underground source, and the hose on the reel at the other end of the truck spooled out and connected to the plane. In between was a pump to suck fuel out of the ground and push it onward into the airplane's tanks, a simple, linear proposition. The guys from seats 4A and 4B maneuvered the truck as close as they could get it to the stone building's door, which put it about halfway between the tank far below them and the thirsty Boeing. One jacked the first nozzle on his shoulder, and the other operated the electric motor that unwound the drum. The one with the nozzle on his shoulder walked the hose into the building and fed it down the second ventilation shaft, the one that the guys with the rope weren't using. Reacher made it to the bottom. Same situation as before. He rested on the last step, 9 inches off the round chamber's floor, its ceiling level with his waist, his upper body still inside the shaft, his face an inch from the curved concrete wall. Plato crowded in behind him, the same way Holland had before. Reacher felt the H&K's muzzle on his back. Plato said, "Move." Reacher ducked way down and got his shoulders under the ceiling and waddled forward, painfully, his legs hurting, his neck bent at 90 degrees. He dropped to his knees and folded himself sideways and sat down. He shuffled through half a turn and scooted away backward, undignified, slow and awkward and claustrophobic, heels and knuckles an ass, once, then twice. Plato stepped off the bottom stair and just walked straight into the chamber. He took 3 confident strides and then stopped and looked around, erect, upright, with 4 clear inches between the top of his head and the concrete. He said, "So where's my stuff?" Reacher didn't answer. He was adrift. The world had flipped underneath him. All his life, to be taller had been to be better, more dominant, more powerful, more noticed, more advantaged. You got credibility. You got treated with respect. You got promoted faster. You earned more. You got elected to things. Statistics bore it out. You won fights. You got less hassle. You ruled the yard. To be born tall was to win life's lottery. Born small, 2 strikes against. But not down there. Down there, to be tall was a losing ticket. Down there was a world where the small guy could win. "Where's my stuff?" Plato said again, with his hand on his gun. Reacher took his own hand off the floor and started to point, but then there were 2 ragged thumps behind him, and a slap and another thump. He shuffled around and saw that 3 packs of garbage bags had been dropped down the ventilation shaft, plus the tail end of a greasy coil of rope, things he had seen before in the trunk of Holland's car. Plato said, "We have work to do. It's not exactly rocket science. We put the stuff in the bags, we tie the bags to the rope, they haul them up." Reacher asked, "How much stuff?" "The plane will carry 16 tons.
"You'll be here all week."
"I don't think so. I have about 10 hours. The biker will come out of his little hidey hole in the jail just after lunchtime, and I arrange with the warden that he will keep your whole department on station right up to that point. So we'll be undisturbed, and 1.5 hours should be possible, especially with you down here to help. But don't worry, the hard work will be done on the surface."
Reacher said nothing. Plato said,
"But we'll do the jewelry first. Where is it?"
Reacher started to point again, but right next to him, a brass collar on the end of a thick black hose dropped through the other ventilation shaft, right next to him. It thumped down on the floor, and excess hose came tumbling down after it and coiled all around it. Then he heard feet on the steps way above, distant tinkling and pattering in the stair shaft, getting louder, getting nearer, a man on his way down. Refueling was about to begin.